It is Tuesday, the 7th of May, approximately 3:50 in the afternoon. Senators who are present this time, Senator Stevens, Phillips, and myself, Terrio. I'd like to take up the governor's confirmations first. It's my understanding we have a number of people on teleconference. We have in the, thank you very much, we have in the packet the information that we have received from the individuals who are up for our consideration. And if there are no problems after we go through them, we'll have a letter to sign today that will forward their names on to the full joint legislature for consideration. So we start first with Alaska Public Offices Commission. I have John Dapsovich. Would you take the stand, please? Why don't you just give us a little bit of information about yourself, and then we'll see if we have questions.
Okay, I was brought up to Alaska by my parents in 1928, at ripe age of two, without my consent. I have been here since. I have served every elected governor and many boards, commissions, and committees since statehood. I've served six terms as mayor in Sitka. I served on their borough assembly, on their city council. You have a list of all the various committees, boards, and commissions I served on. I was appointed to Alaska Public Office Commission a year ago for an unexpired term, which expired this year. And the governor submitted my name for reappointment.
Okay, and since being asked to serve, how many times has the commission met?
We've had four meetings in person and two teleconference meetings.
Do the committee members have any questions for Mr. Dapsovich?
How long will this appointment be?
5 years.
5 years?
He's not moving. He's not going anywhere. Been here since he's, what, 2 years old, you'd say?
I'm just curious.
No, just a comment.
That'll put me at the age 80, the last year of the term, if I am reappointed.
That's good.
A young 80.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Hey, any other questions? Seeing none, Senator?
Well, I was just gonna say, I didn't think, you're 74?
75.
75? I didn't think you were that old.
I wasn't.
Well, I thought you were closer to 60, 65. Remarkable. Next.
Okay, if there are no further questions, then thank you very much. I'm sorry for the delay today.
You want to do this individually, or just wait for every, go through the whole thing?
Why don't we do it by office? We've got one more.
Okay. Whenever you're ready. And that's, who's APOC? Who's the next one?
Next, we have Sheila Gallagher. She was not able to be available on short notice, so I just wanted to see if members had an opportunity to look over the information that we've received, and if there's any desire to carry her forward to a future meeting, we can do so. Are there any questions regarding Ms. Gallagher's information?
She's not on?
She was not able to be available.
Is she a reappointment or a new appointment? You know?
A new appointment.
5-year term on that as well?
Yes.
How many, Joe, do you know how many directors are there on APOC?
Either 5 or 7.
5 or 7?
I'm sorry, Sheila Gallagher was appointed on 6/7/01.
About a year ago.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Five members.
Five members? How many do we have before us?
Two.
Two. Okay, thank you.
So we have Mr. Dapsovich and Sheila Gallagher. So if there are no questions, and if the committee does not desire to hold Ms. Gallagher's consideration, Senator Phillips.
If you want to do it by office, let me just do it this way. I'll move that we, for the Alaska APOC, Alaska Public Office Commission, that John Dapsovich from, are you from Juneau?
Yeah. He's from Chicago, so Sitka.
Okay. And Sheila Gallagher from Anchorage sent a letter stating that we do not have any objections to the named individuals.
Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, we'll next go to the Alaska Air National Guard. We have first Colonel Jim Robinson. Colonel Robinson, are you online?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Okay. Do you just have some basic information you want to give us?
Well, I was brought up here 40 years after John. I guess my wishes also. But anyway, I've been in the Guard, the Alaska Guard, for about 24 years. I've held numerous jobs, risen through the ranks, and I'm currently a colonel. And working downtown with the Adjutant General, General Oates, in the Adjutant General, I'm on his staff as the Director of Operations.
Okay. I see you were taught to fly by your father in Anchorage, Alaska, so you're homegrown.
Homegrown. Here for the duration.
Are there questions from committee members?
How long is this appointment?
How long is your will your appointment be for?
These appointments are indefinite. What we have to do is have confirmation of every general officer in the Alaska National Guard. So there isn't an end, although we have, you know, a certain term of service that's mandated by federal rules. In other words, at a certain age, you have to retire. But in essence, you're approving these individuals as general officers, and it's not really a term of service.
So you make the...
You need to come up to the mic, please.
Through the chair to Senator Stevens, it's by statute we have to have approval as we do at the federal level. In fact, the members of the National Guard require both state legislative confirmation and national legislative level confirmation through the U.S. Senate. So that is the process we're proceeding here or following here. And again, it's not a term of office, although there is a term that you go through. Now, somebody could be removed earlier, and in fact, since we certainly work for the governor, there could be actions to change individuals earlier. But again, it's not like a board or a commission.
So these four individuals are being nominated as general officers then, or you just recently become a general officer?
Yes, sir. If I could answer that a little bit. I'm changing the process a bit because we require both state and national confirmation. And I'm trying to change the procedures. I have one individual, Colonel Tim Scott, who we're getting state confirmation, and assuming that you approve him, then I'll send him for the federal confirmation. And the same for Jim Welch on the Army side. The other two individuals actually have positions that they're going into. But it seems to me better to put everyone through the state process, and then if you say, yes, we agree, then I intend to put them all through the federal process. If we do it the other way around, let's assume I put them through the federal process first, and that process takes as much as a year and a half to bring to completion. And then if they're not acceptable to you, then I've got a tremendous gap where I don't have a general officer to serve. But
how many general officers do you have in the Guard?
Well, I've got myself, the Adjutant General. I've got the two assistant AGs, Air and Army, and we added another assistant AG for Space and Missile Defense. And then I've also got the Chief of Staff for the Air Guard, so that gives me five there. And then on the Army side, I've also got the Commander of the Group, so a total of six.
Total of six?
Yes, sir.
You got four out of six that are up. That's about...
And one of them, though, is, again, Colonel Gene Ramsey, will have his, assuming he's confirmed, we will have his change of command for the 176 wing at Eielson this July. Now, Colonel Tim Scott, who is up, actually the position I intend to groom him for is to replace Gene Ramsey. So Colonel Scott is the first one I'm trying to get through the state process and make sure he's acceptable to the legislature, and then we'll submit him for the federal process. So actually, three of these will actually be going pretty well directly into positions, and the fourth will be the next in line, if you will.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And Mr. Chairman, I'll remain here if that's all right to speak on Colonel Tim Scott, who's deployed, and he's the commander of the 168th in Eielson.
Okay. First, is there any further questions from committee members for Colonel James Robinson.
Could I add a couple of comments about Jim? He's a traditional guardsman. In other words, he does this on just a part-time basis. He's also a pilot for Alaska Airlines in his other life and doing a great job as director of operations.
And next on my list is Colonel Tim Scott, and he's not able to be here today, but we do have leave information.
Let me double check. Tim, you're not online, are you? Mr. Chairman, he's currently deployed. I would like to say that Tim is currently the commander of the 168th Aero Refueling Wing at Alsen, and is doing a remarkable job. He came to us after attending full-time the Naval War College, where he became a War College graduate. His wife is a longtime resident of the interior and is, in fact, a school teacher. He has worked at Air Mobility Command, so he's worked at the higher major command level at the Air Force. And I'd like to say also that he has, on the attack of September 11th, when we had to provide the air cap for Alaska, although it's a National Guard unit, he put four tankers in the air, essentially on no notice, and provided all the aero refueling support for that mission. And he also is currently deployed supporting the military actions overseas by providing aero refueling support in Guam. He has done a magnificent job, and I think he's truly one of our leaders of the future.
Questions from committee members? Yes, and then we'll go on to Colonel Gene Ramsey. Colonel Ramsey, are you online?
Yes, I'm on.
Okay, we do have your information here, biography information. Is there anything that you'd like to just verbally add?
As General Lutz said, I appreciate the opportunity to testify, and I'm slated to take over the 176 wing here at Coolis Air National Guard Base at Anchorage International Airport. We have the 144th Airless Squadron, the C-130s, and the 210th Air Rescue Squadron with Rescue 130s and helicopters, and we add a lot of value to both the state and the nation. We're certainly busy rescuing Alaskans almost every week, and we have that airlift capability to help us stay out when the governor needs us. We've also been busy since 9/11. We, as did the 168th, we stood a lot of airport security duty and some other federal duty in the wake of that attack. And I see my job in the next year or two to figure out how much tempo the traditional guard member can handle, because we've really asked a lot of them in the last 6 months, and that's on everyone's minds right now. I've been in Alaska since 1974, became a state resident in 1976, so I'm kind of a newcomer compared to the people that preceded me. Do you have any questions for me?
Are there questions from committee members? Seeing none, then.
I would like to say that Gene currently is the vice commander of the wing and is well prepared to assume command of that wing based on his past performance and the quality of that performance.
And one thing that sets me apart from the others is I've already gone through the federal process. I received U.S. Senate confirmation back on September 26th, so I should be a relatively quick promotion if confirmed by the state.
Senator Phillips.
Chairman, I'll move and ask the consent that the Alaska Air Guard, the nominees for the Alaska Air National Guard and Brigadier General, Jim Robinson, Tim Scott, and Jim Ramsey, be forwarded with no objections to the body.
Is there objection to the motion? Seeing none, the three for Air Guard will be advanced. Next, we'll take up Space and Missile Defense Brigadier General Colonel Jim Welch. Colonel Welch, are you online?
I am, sir.
Okay. Did you, again, we've got your biographical information here, and did you have something that you want to add to this?
Right. I would point out that this is a new position for the state of Alaska, and in fact, it's a unique position throughout our country. Alaska is the only state that has this position of Assistant National General for Space and Missile Defense. I see this role as being key. Bring that Alaska is ready to assume its role to ensure that the Alaska National Guard is ready to assume its role. Guard as being the creators of a deployed system, and a lot of work to do between now and any potential deployment. Military side, which I'll be focusing on, guy on the block, even newer than Gene Ramsey. I came to Alaska in 1988, spent 10 and a half years the Alaska Guard, reached the rank of colonel, and went to South America for 4 years. And just getting back in country, still on February 1, I've been going through the process of getting back into boots. Again, the governor had made me to fill this position. I consider it a great honor to have the opportunity and an honor to testify before this committee.
Mr. Chairman, if I might add on Colonel Welch's behalf, what made his selection an easy choice for us and an easy recommendation to the governor was he brings a strong industry background, a large project management working with British Petroleum in the oil industry, and he has that combination with his strong military background. And as we build the Pacific region testbed here, start establishing ground-based missile defense testing in Alaska, it'll be very, very important to begin and work very hard on establishing the right type of unit for success when we get an operational decision from the president to begin deploying that system. And we thought Jim, with his strong industry background and his strong military background, was the right man to lead us into the future in that mission area.
Okay. Questions from committee members? Seeing none. Senator Phillips.
Jim, are you from North Texas?
Hi, sir. I'm just across the river from North Texas.
Oklahoma.
About 12 miles north of the Red River.
So. All right. I know where it is. You sound like a North Texas guy.
Right. Most people think I'm Southern Alaska.
Oh, okay.
You fill me down. Southern Oklahoma.
All right. Mr. Chairman, if you want, I'll move Colonel Jim Welch for the Space and Missile Defense for recommendation.
Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the last run for the committee to take up.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank you for your prompt attention to these nominees, and I promise you they'll serve Alaska well.
Thank you. And we'll take up now Kathy Wisthoff of Anchorage for this. Actually, she's not able to be here, correct? For the Human Rights Commission. And just wanted to see if members would like to hold her over, or if you have no objection, we could entertain a motion.
Chairman, without any objection, I'll move for State Human Rights Commission, Kathy Wisthoff of Anchorage, recommended to the body.
Is there objection to the motion? Seeing none, we will forward those here for consideration in a joint session. Randy, if you don't
sign them all.
Okay, next I'd like to take up House Bill 526. Go ahead, Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tom Wright. I'm staff to Speaker Porter. This bill is introduced on behalf of the Legislative Ethics Committee. It's basically what it does, well, the only thing it does, is require the public nominee to the Ethics Committee to file his financial disclosure on or before the second Monday of January. I suppose I can go into a few more details, but it's spelled out on the sponsor statement. I'm sure Joyce Anderson, who is also on teleconference, can answer any questions as to why the Ethics Committee sees this as necessary.
So is it an issue of disclosure in general, or just the timing of?
The timing, Mr. Chairman, more than anything. Apparently there was a nominee who went through the process a few years ago, found out how much financial information had to be disclosed, and withdrew. This way they know beforehand what the is going to be required of them as far as financial disclosure. It also gives legislators a chance opportunity to look at the financial information disclosed by that person along with their resume when they're looking at confirmation.
Questions for Mr. Wright? Seeing none, we'll go to the teleconference. Joyce Anderson, are you online?
Yes, I am, Senator.
Okay, did you have comments?
I just wanted to reiterate what was just said, is that the Ethics Committee felt that this was a good change to the Ethics Code, basically because we've had a committee member who was confirmed last year and then decided not to participate in the committee because of the disclosure requirements. So we felt it was important that we change that time frame so that they have to file them prior to the beginning of the legislative session. And then in addition, allowing you as legislators to review that information along with the resume. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee members? Seeing none, Tom, I see this bill was introduced on 4/26, so late in the session. I can't imagine the House is still introducing legislation so late in the session.
Oh, we still have a few more up our sleeve, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I have not prepared a CS. Is there anybody here in Juneau to testify on the bill? Is there anybody else on teleconference? I have no prepared CS.
Chairman, can we put appointees in there as well?
Legislative
appointees?
You could propose an amendment to do whatever you want, I imagine.
Appointees.
Are there any in particular that you were thinking of?
No.
Okay, are there any amendments from members? There is the 1-0 fiscal note.
Chairman, you want a motion?
Yep.
Chairman, I'll move HB 526 unchanged with the accompanying 0 fiscal note to next committee referral, and that is
rules.
Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the bill will move.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. House Bill 517, another bill introduced mere days ago.
We need more Senate bills.
Go ahead, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bill Lawrence. I am staff to Representative Carl Morgan and to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. When 517 is a little bill to fix a problem dealing with surplus property, specifically it was written to address surplus fax machines. The bill requires all electronic identifiers be removed before a fax machine is surplus. Now, a situation occurred a while back, and you probably saw these faxes. Both this came to our committee and another committee, this came to the entire legislature, and it had Division of Mining DNR on them, and we did some investigating and actually talked to legislative legal about it, and decided it would be in the best interest of the state to make sure these headers are removed. And it turned out, just for the record, Mr. Chairman, that these faxes were not sent by DNR. The fax machine had been surplus to the public interest agency, and they had not removed the fax header, and as it turned out, were unable to remove it without some help. Removal of the identifiers makes some pretty good sense. It protects the state. State departments or employees won't get blamed for faxes they don't send. Inappropriate faxes won't be misidentified, and it prevents the appearance of impropriety. It will help prevent fraud. Should prevent a party from intentionally faxing material identified as the state of Alaska. Now, an interesting related item, federal law requires that a fax going from anywhere by anybody be identified with the phone number and the name of the person sending it. So when I send a fax from home, I've got to have my name and my phone number on there from all of our offices as well, and to be in compliance with the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. So with that, when the state surpluses a machine, we should remove this header so that we are giving a clean machine to the person or agency who buys them. And we're being a good neighbor that way. So that, in a nutshell, is what the bill does. And Representative Morgan asks your support.
Questions from committee members?
Do you have somebody from the department?
We have a Chris. Is it?
Hart.
Question for her.
Okay. Any other questions for Bill? Seeing none, thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chris, my question is, when we surplus the machines, I guess we don't surplus the owner's manual, so they have instructions to.
For the record, my name is Christine Parse, Division Director of General Services. And the answer to that question, Mr. Chairman, is that we don't surplus the manuals, and there's a very good reason for that. Most of the equipment that we buy in our state departments are put onto servers, which are networked, and they really serve multiple stations, and they don't really come with manuals. And they're like $65 a pop, and we don't buy them. So we don't have them. We might have a little cheat sheet how to run the thing, you know. But basically, the equipment is run on a server.
Senator Stevens, did you have any question?
No, I'm fine.
Well, we'll just take an ad ease here until Senator Phillips can step back in, since he said indicated he had a question. So. No, we just took a break until you could get back.
Sorry. Is this really necessary? Couldn't you have done it internally? That baffles me. This sounds like an internal thing rather than something the legislature gets involved with.
Through the chair, Senator Phillips, we actually do this through our internal procedures. We have a property control handbook that instructs.
Here, talking to you.
I have no idea who introduced this. We didn't.
Kept coming.
I think part of the answer to that is it is in our P&P manual for property officers. It is in our surplus handbook. Sometimes employees don't always follow all the rules, I suppose. And so even though we remind them to do so, I guess it doesn't hurt to have it be a law. If it's in law, then.
If they can't follow the rules, what do you expect to follow the law? So, but you do have an internal policy.
We do. Right? We have a P&P for property control officers that states that they will remove all programs, all accompanying data, delete all headers, et cetera, et cetera.
In this particular case, it was not done for some reason.
I think this just slipped through the system.
One of the times where it doesn't hurt, Senator Phillips, but I understand your question. Any further questions?
Getting down to the minutia of management here.
Well, there is the 1-0 fiscal note, and I've not come with a CS. Are there amendments? Seeing none, what's the will of the committee?
Obviously, Randy's not going to move it. Mr. Chairman, I make the motion to move House Bill 517 to the next committee referral.
Would be
the rules with attached fiscal note of 0.
Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Okay.
You can go to the next meeting anyway.
Yes, I know.
Okay. Okay, I'd like next to take up Senate Bill 312, which is my bill. Well, actually, it's introduced by, under the State Affairs Committee. Zach Warwick here to testify, and he's done the work in my office. So.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Zach Warwick, staff for Senator Terrio.
Was this bill CRA about a week ago? Okay.
You offered two amendments for it.
Yeah, it looks real familiar.
Was he successful with his amendments?
Probably not.
Go ahead.
Basically, what 312 does is it authorizes the governor to declare up to 4 areas of the state enterprise zones per year. Zones would be designated due to economic distress. The way that the language is written, the enterprise zones would last up to 20 years, so 4 enterprise zones a year for up to 20 years. It's designed to encourage and authorize local municipalities to offer incentives within the zones, reduction in permit or user fees, credits towards exemptions and property taxes, flexibility in regulations like zoning, and lease or sale of municipal properties. There are 2 state incentives which are included, the first of which is 15% of the initial investment in the area would count as credit to state corporate income taxes for that first year. You can't carry it over to the next year. And
go over that part again. I'm sorry.
It's 15% of the initial investment that a corporation would put into an area would count as credit towards state corporate income taxes for that year. but just for that year. And $500 corporate income tax credit for each new employee hired year-to-year, or for up to 20 years, I guess. Basically, it allows and encourages businesses to invest and develop in the areas of our state that have seen economic distress in the near past. One of the major reasons behind this is to help some communities produce proposals and qualify for federal grants and federal tax credits offered by HUD and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And I can answer any questions if you have any. There were a couple amendments made in CNRA to straighten some language out. Senator Phillips offered two of them, and Osterman offered the other one, basically just to clean up some language.
Go ahead and tell Jim what we did.
I know, Zach, that you and I have talked about some language here that seemed to get us into a sort of an endless loop of did the federal government take action first or we took action first, and was that something that was clarified?
We just deleted that out.
Okay, so that's gone. And there was one other issue that I think you and I spoke of, and I don't remember the particulars.
City within a borough. It exempted, or it said a city within a borough is not eligible to make a proposal for an enterprise zone, which completely exempts a lot of the cities in the state of Alaska. So North Pole and Fairbanks would not be eligible to propose an enterprise zone, but the borough, North Star Borough, would be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the third amendment was to change language, the size of the areas that we were going to call enterprise zones were originally census tracts, which is, I think, about a 10,000 person area. We changed that to one or more continuous block groups in the U.S. Census or a compact geographical area. That was by request of Senator Lincoln because it excluded the rural Alaska, basically.
And were there any other issues that were brought up in the earlier committee that were not dealt with as far as...
I think we dealt with everything that was brought up.
I just see in this bill, Mr. Chairman, you want a motion.
Oh, we need to mention the fiscal note.
Right.
Let's see, personal services.
Is
that just one person or a half-time position?
I think our committee, CRA, spent 2 weeks on this thing. At 2-3 hearings.
Personal development specialist, 2 position, range 20. Program year. Okay.
Yeah. Let's go to finance next.
Yeah.
And sort it out.
We have commerce and economic development and revenue. Do we have anybody else here in Juneau to testify on Senate Bill 312?
Better not.
Okay. I have not come with a prepared CS. Are there amendments? Seeing none, Senator Phillips.
With the two company fiscal notes, Mr. Chairman, I'll move the CSVSB 312 CRA to the next committee referral, which is finance, individual rec.
Any objection? Seeing none, the bill will move.
Get out of here. I don't see that again until rule.
And the next bill, Representative Lancaster, have you gotten together with Senator Halford? Okay, I know he has some concerns that he wanted to bring up, and he just has not been able to attend. Where are we going next?
Oh, is Kenai?
Well, Senator Halford is on resources, which is the next committee referral. We were presented with a CS that reduces the acreage.
4,600?
3,800?
We're down 3,500 acres.
Yeah, come on,
you're down to 40-something, isn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Down to 3,500 out of 7,200. Okay.
Yeah, 4,200 acres is what I have. Well, it's out of the resources.
Okay. And now did we trigger change in fiscal notes with the CS?
There is no fiscal note that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And does, still zeros.
Yeah.
Still zeros. Okay.
all over the place. Yeah, okay, 2-0.
Senator Phillips.
I just want to make sure, I know I asked this question last time, but all the legal descriptions correct to the best of your knowledge, right?
Yes, they are, Senator, through the chair, because we have worked on that. We found two problems early on with the DOT site and so that, and then one point downriver with the pillars, so those have all been checked and double-checked, so.
Well, we've got the proposed site, the backslash J, so we need to move that as the working document.
Working document right now, Mr. Chairman, I'll move the J version, Mark 5102, for Senate Bill, for CS, for CSHB 165.
Any objection to that motion? Seeing none, that's the document before us.
Chairman?
Senator Phillips.
I'll move the Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for HB 165 State Affairs, the J version, 5102. Move and ask unanimous consent.
And the 2-0 fiscal notes.
Company 2-0 fiscal notes with it.
Any objection? Seeing none, that will move with individual recommendation.
And it goes resources next?
Resources.
Resources.
And I think that does it for the day.
289, right? For different.